going to be just a lesson on prayer tonight. I need to learn a lot about prayer, and I'm learning a lot about prayer, and I'm thankful for that. I have a lot to learn, and this prayer thing is just so important, and I want to add an important aspect to our knowledge of prayer tonight. And I want to talk tonight about adding tears to prayer. Adding tears to prayer. Psalm 34 is a great chapter. I memorized it when I was a teenager, and really, there's a lot in there. It's a lot of good, just a great psalm. Psalm 34, we'll start at verse 6. We're just talking about tears and prayer and crying to God. Verse 6, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life, and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil, and do good. Seek peace, and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Let's pray. Father, this message, Lord, I think is powerful, and I'm not sure I'm the one to preach it, Lord, but the Bible has got some great stuff to say on this, Lord. And I just pray that tonight you'd work around or through me or whatever, Lord, so we would just get what we need tonight. Help us. Help us, Lord, we pray, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and give us what we need and help our prayer lives to become even more effective, both as individuals and corporately, Lord. We pray that you just help us, Lord, and learn and speak to every heart, Lord, every child who'd normally drift off or get distracted. Help all of us to get truth from heaven, and we ask for your help now in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a few things in this particular chapter, and there's a lot of verses that we'll read on this subject of crying and prayer, but just in this chapter, verse 6, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his troubles." Verse 15, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry." Verse 17, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles." Just a few things there, on prayer, just in this chapter, and that's probably the last we'll be in this particular chapter, but we will just a few thoughts just from that one particular chapter. And then the next verse after that, "The Lord is nigh unto them that have a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Those of the broken heart, God's near to them and his people who have the broken hearts. And I think that's a godly characteristic of having joy and peace and a broken heart all at the same time. And so we see that. There are many stories in the Bible of the Lord doing great things when people finally pray and cry. When people finally pray and cry. Let's go back in Exodus and look at this. Exodus and chapter 2. Many things happen when, and many great stories in the Bible we don't understand, or many great changes in a nation or changes in a situation start when somebody started praying and crying. And sometimes they prayed before, but then they added crying to it, and then something happened. And Exodus in chapter 2, in verse 23, this is Israel in slavery. "And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of their bondage, and they cried. And their cry came unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And God looked unto the children of Israel and had respect unto them." Now, there's several other times God's going to refer back to their crying here in Exodus in the next several chapters as he's talking to Moses. He's going to say, "I heard their cry." We're not going to turn to all those passages, but you can see the cry came up to God, and God said, "Okay, I'm going to do something. And hundreds of years had passed here, and now God's hearing their cry in slavery, and now they're crying to God. And God heard their cry, and it went up into his throne. And go forward a little bit to 1 Samuel chapter 1. Nation's in very great danger. The nations, the spiritual leaders are in great immorality. God's going to have to destroy the priests and the leaders in the nation. The nation's in big trouble. And it says the lamp of God is about to go out, which is a symbolism of the presence of God and with Israel. And it's about to go out and disappear. And we find one lady who God put with a broken heart. And that's Hannah in chapter 1, 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 10. And Hannah's praying. And it says, she was in bitterness of her soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaiden and remember me and not forget thine handmaiden, but will give unto thine handmaiden a man-child, then I'll give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And a rage won't come on his head. He will be a Nazarite. And she begins to cry to God. Verse 15, and Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman. She's accused of being drunk, of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. And so we see that she's weeping, and she's going to get her answer. And and verse 17, Eli answered and said, Go in peace, the God of Israel grant thee thy petition, which thou hast asked of him. She wept much, it said, and she got a boy, and she wanted a boy, and that boy saved the nation. The nation was saved because of one woman's praying and weeping, because God got a hold of her, and she wept. And she wept. I want to say this. Many times we aren't impassioned enough about certain things. We're not impassioned enough about whatever the subject is. And so God gives us a broken heart. And the broken heart pours into all of our prayer life. And sometimes he gives us a broken heart for a certain thing, a certain person, a certain family member, a certain nation, whatever it is, a church, a ministry, whatever it is. And we get a broken heart and we begin to pray. But sometimes we resent getting the broken heart. See, in order to get her where she could save a nation, understand that God was getting her to where she would save her nation. Can you imagine being the one to save America? If it was going to be destroyed completely. And God used you to save it. And you say, I would like to be Hannah. But to get to that point, God had to put her in this marriage where the other wife tormented her and mocked her and said, you can't have kids. I can have kids. Look at my kids. Don't you wish you could have kids? God's punishing you. And just, it said she taunted her and tormented her day after day after day. And eventually, her heart got broken, and she began to pray prayers of weeping. I want to say this. Sometimes you need your heart broke because God needs to use your prayers to do great things. But unless he puts you in the situation of a broken heart, you're not going to pray right. So don't be afraid of a broken heart. Nations have been saved. Nations have been changed. The great missionaries who shook the world, they had broken hearts. And you could trace back to when they talk about weeping over their nation. And God allowed her to get her heart broken. I want to say this. When everything's going good and everything's good and happy and copacetic in your life, your prayers are probably like my prayers are at that time. They're pretty, okay, I got to pray and here it is. And da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay, did my duty. I'm out of here. But there's times when you're broken where you're praying and you're weeping. And by the way, I want to say this, if you don't weep, pray anyway, because weeping is added boost to your car. Prayer is your car with the high performance engine. Weeping is a nitrous oxide button you push, and make sure you're already going, but all of a sudden, and that's prayer with weeping. Now God has to make you where you can weep, and God has to make it so you care enough about things that matter. Because our nature is not to care enough about things that really matter. Most of the time, if things are okay, our family's healthy, our job's okay, and we're getting along with people okay, we're not praying. We're not really we're pretty good. The whole world can be falling apart. But if our lives are okay, we usually don't get a broken heart. But then all of a sudden God breaks your heart because you desperately need a job. Your child is terribly sick. And all of a sudden you began praying and weeping. And sometimes that your heart is just broken now, and you just really get a broken heart. Sometimes it's nothing drastic or tragic or anything else. It's just God's work in your life, and you're just getting more and more tender hearted, and you begin to get a broken heart for things, and you get a broken heart and you begin to weep about many things. Because prayer is very powerful always, but when it gets accompanied with a broken heart, it's very powerful. Let's turn to Mark chapter 9. Again, just a few times when people began to weep and pray, Mark chapter 9, and God really did something and moved at that point. This man has a child who was very demonically possessed and tearing this boy apart. And by that, make you pray. Your child's being torn to shreds in your child. And he asked the disciples to cast the demon out. The disciples can't do it. He brings him to Jesus. And Jesus just seems a little bit reluctant. And by the way, if you look sometimes, watch many times when people come to Jesus, they come to Jesus for healing or whatever, and he kind of just like, He's looking for somebody who really wants it. He walked by blind men. But one of them made such a ruckus that he finally said, and everybody tried to shush him up, and Jesus said, all right, we'll heal him. He cares. He's going to make sure to give me glory. He really cares about being healed, and he cares. And so, Jesus, how long since this child's been possessed in Mark chapter 9? It's cast him into the fire. And Jesus said to him, if thou canst believe all things are possible, then believe it. Then straightway his father, the child, cried out instead of tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. He said with tears. And Jesus said, all right, let's go ahead and come out. And so this man wept at this point. He's so desperate. And he didn't have perfect faith or anything else, but he wept. The Lord notices tears. Let's turn to Psalm now, and we'll be a little bit in Psalms for a while. This man wept, and again, like Hannah wept, like Israel wept, and like many other stories, people wept, and God listened. The Lord notices tears. Psalm 56 and verse 8. It says, thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? If I understand this verse right, God has a book recording our tears. And also, he has a bottle that records our tears. He asked God, God, take my tears in your bottle. But he says, aren't they recorded in your book? See, God, tears are a big deal to God. And he says, I notice your tears. I record your tears. Man, can you imagine? Now, some people are hard. They remember every time they cried in their life. And there's other people who can't remember how many times they cried that day because they cry a lot. And, you know, God keeps track of every tear of every person because tears are important to him. He wants to know that if you mourn, you'll be comforted. If you weep, you're going to rejoice someday. And so he pays attention of them. He hears us when we cry. Psalm 31. He hears us when we cry. Psalm 31. In verse 22, for thou said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest my voice, the voice of my supplications, when I cried unto thee. Psalm 138. Psalm 138. In verse 3. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me, thou and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. And so God hears us when we cry, and we said that his ears are open to the cry, and we started off in Psalm 34. Now I want to explain this here. Sometimes a kid cries. Like when our kids never get anything because they throw a fit. That just doesn't mean anything. We'll just tell them to send them off to the room or whatever, and they'll be crying. And sometimes they'll be crying up there, and you'll know they're, you know, a fake cry. And they cry. And after your seven kids and a lot of those fits, you're Anyway, what was I cooking here? And, you know, hey, well, you know, who's winning the game? I mean, it's just, you know, you don't get too stressed about it. And but then all of a sudden, sometimes the cry changes. And you know, a mom or a dad can tell a fake cry from a real cry. Sometimes the kid's crying and they're laying there, and then they fall off the bed, and all of a sudden you hear the cry change. And the parent is flying across the house or running there. Why? Because they know the cries are different. They know a real cry. And it isn't putting on an act, and it's not a fake thing. It's ears are open to their cry. In the middle of the night, a parent, especially a certain gender parent that's not male, can wake up in a second when their baby cries. And males, well, we're not so godly in that way. Our ears are not open to cry. Our snoring is magnified. But you know, that ears are, God's just listening for crying. He's just listening for someone to cry because his ears are open to their cries. He's listening, and it gets his attention. It's kind of like prayer. That one's serious. They're weeping. What are they saying? That's... Wow, they really care about this thing. God's ears are open to the cry of his saints. And so you want to have that. And you say, well, I just don't cry much. I'm not a crier. I don't cry much. So guess what? When I cry, it gets God's attention. Isn't that awesome that you're not a big crier? So when you do cry, God's going to notice a whole bunch. And if you cannot cry, you're messed up. Something's wrong with you. By the way, about the only place I ever cry is in prayer. I don't cry for movies. I don't cry because of bad news. I don't cry because of pain. About the only place I cry, half the reason is because I don't watch those movies. Honey, let's watch this movie. It's a wonderful movie. Look, she has 8 kids and her husband dies. And then 4 of the kids die in the famine. And they watch it and they weep. And oh, this is a wonderful movie. And I say, this is terrible. Why do you women want to watch those movies of misery? I don't understand it. They're all bothered. Oh, this is such a good movie. I'm going, this is awful. Terrible. So I don't cry because I don't watch miserable movies. Why do I want to? I face enough misery in life. Why do I want to watch it and pay for it? And so we understand. Listen, not all of us cry differently. But I think that if you can't, I'll just tell you this, when you begin to pray, prayer is a heart tenderizer. Thump, 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 thump. And your heart gets way more tender, and you'll shock yourself how you start getting to be softer hearted. And how you really start weeping's not so hard, not how you suddenly find emotions a lot more near the surface, because we sometimes hide our emotions because of hurts and stuff like that. But emotions are good and okay, and God wants us to care because He notices it. God notices it. It's a real cry. We can all cry. I want to say this: some people, when they cry, God suddenly hears them. Let me show you this Exodus 22. It's an interesting verse because some things are supposed to happen. Remember how God remembered His covenant, and boy, It's so a little bit hard to understand and deep to grasp. It's a very deep part of prayer. But let me just say this. God is not obligated to do any of His promises unless someone claims them. Okay? Or their prayers touch God's heart and He says, you know what? I remember I told them this. But if nobody gives any reason for God to remember His promises, like call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things, then either somebody doesn't claim Him or somebody doesn't weep enough where God says, you know what, I'm moved now. I remembered I said this. Now He remembers it, but it's not in His mind to care about it necessarily until someone makes Him have a reason to care. Well, I should preach a whole sermon on that or I'm going to lose you. I'm going to make you think you don't understand God there. But watch this. Look at Exodus 22. God's big on protecting the widows. Exodus 22, verse 22, ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise, now here's a word, and, they cry it all unto me, I will surely hear their cry. See that? God says, you know what? Don't mess with the widows. Don't mess with the orphans. And if you mess with them and they cry unto me, you're in big trouble. But God says they got to cry unto me. If it looks at that verse right there, God is saying, if you afflict them and they just sit around and moan about it and just gripe about it and just whine about it and write their senator about it, I'm not involved. When they cry unto me, and if thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry. And my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword. And your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. Back at you. And so God says, if they cry unto me, then I'll do that. And so many widows probably didn't pray and cry, and probably wonder, why did God allow this to happen to me without any repercussions? This guy's been ripping me off or taking my house or whatever. Because you didn't cry unto God. Because you didn't cry unto God. And because crying gets God's attention. Just like a man when a woman cries. The biggest cheating thing in the entire arguing process. We're arguing, everything's just going just fine. We might even be winning. Da-da-da-da-da, everything's going just fine. All of a sudden, all right, that is not fair. Stop it. You just took this thing to unfair grounds. What do I got to match that? It is not fair. Why? Because then they cry out, I'm such a dope. Why did they do that to you? I'm sorry. Because it gets our attention. It gets our attention because we care, and because we have that. And don't come up to me tonight, girls, my daughters, and say, "Daddy, I want Dairy Queen." Okay, it won't work. Okay, but we go and God. It gets their attention. And it gets God's attention. He does that. And so God notices it. It adds another dimension to your prayer. It makes God have another sense of listening to your prayers. Let's go to 2 Kings. 2 Kings. And, I'm sorry, 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings 8. Somewhere in there. Yeah, I don't know if I got the right verse here written down. Let me see if I can find it. Let me see if I can find the right verse, because I don't see it. Let me find my notes for 1 second. Let me have you turn a different verse, and I'll find it. There we go. I'm looking at two spots at once. 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter 20. I was looking at the wrong spot. 2 Kings chapter 20. There it is. And verse 5, it's another dimension. Now watch this. It's interesting the way God talks about this. God talks about it in a neat sort of way. It's another sense that God hears with. 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 5. Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus say the Lord, the God of thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. See that? He heard his prayer. See, God hears our prayers. But he sees our tears. Now you got two parts. It's God saying, I hear that. Oh, I see you're crying. Do you see how that gets God's attention more? I've heard your prayers. I have seen your tears, he says. Isaiah 38. And verse 5, it's going to say the same thing. Go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. I have heard thy prayer, Isaiah 38:5. I have seen thy tears. You got my attention because of that. So it adds another sense of God listening because he sees tears along with hearing prayer. And so God pays more attention when we weep and when we cry. Next, crying is another aspect of prayer. Let's go to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. It's another aspect of prayer. I mean, talking to God is prayer, and crying is another aspect of prayer. And 2 Samuel 22. And verse 7. It says, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. Notice that. I prayed and I cried, and he heard my prayer and he heard my cry. There were two different things in his prayer life. You see how they're separated? It's another aspect. It's a part of prayer. It's a super booster. It's the vitamin boost. It's the B12 shot in prayer. Second Chronicles. I don't want to lose you in this. I don't want to lose you with all these verses here. There's a lot of verses on these things, and I don't want to lose you, but I want you to understand, it's another aspect of prayer. Crying is part of prayer. Now, prayer is fine without crying. It's great. It's powerful. But it's another part of prayer. Second Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 19. Have respect, therefore, unto the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord, my God, to hearken unto the cry and the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee. And let me just take you to Psalm there, and we won't run around too much more. Psalm chapter 18. It's another aspect of prayer. It's part of prayer. It's part of what God listens to. In the whole bunch of prayer, in the whole world and realm of prayer, crying is one part that adds to it, and that is incorporated into it. Psalm 18. And verse 6, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice at his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Did you hear that? You see it? Both. They both came before God. My prayer came to God, and my crying came before God. And he says this, Psalm 39. And we've read a lot of verses that have said this in different ways, and other verses that said it, there were different points, but it still said that. Psalm 39, verse 12, hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. And Psalm 55 and verse 17. Even in morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. And so we see that it's a part of prayer. It does that. And then it shows we are serious. Let me take you to Second Chronicles. If you're trying to outline what I'm preaching right now, there's no real good logical outline of it. I'm just kind of teaching that prayer and crying go together. Second Chronicles 34 and verse 27. It just shows God that you're serious. Second Chronicles 30. And by the way, all these three things I'm reading where people were in big trouble or had a great need from God, and God heard them for a reason when they prayed and cried. Second Chronicles 34, 27. Because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest his words in this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, and humble thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes, and weep before me. I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. So it just showed that he was serious about it. About 2 years ago, One thing got a hold of me in my life, and one thing I wanted to see, and one thing that God spoke to me about, and one thing in my heart, it really broke my heart that I had not done a good enough job in a certain area of my family, and just something I wanted to see my family experience, and it really just completely broke my heart, and I think God let me have a broken heart in it, and I'm not a free weeper. I've just never been. In general, it's not easy for me. It's not because my heart's not tender. I'm just not as expressive, and things don't come out as easily. Not because I try to not be. It's just kind of the way I'm wired. And every time I thought of that and went to God in prayer, I cried about it. Every time. It broke my heart so much that something I wanted my kids to experience and see, and something that I just wasn't doing a good enough job, and it just broke my heart. And so I just said, God, you've got to do this thing. And it was something that I couldn't do. It was something that God had to do, and it broke my heart. So every time I prayed about it, every day I prayed about it, I just started to weep because I wanted that so bad, because I saw it as such a need. You know how quickly that thing happened? It happened so quick, and it happened so obviously. Why? Because I think me weeping like that often about something really gets God's attention. Now, can we pray? You ready for quiz time? Can we pray without crying? Yes. Good. Is it good to pray without crying? Yes. Okay, that's fine. I just want to say, you want God to hear, and he'll hear your prayers. You want God to say, then you need to cry. What does God What do you care about enough? I want to say this. I understand if you're 8 years old and your prayer life is, you know, Lord, help mom to give me candy tomorrow. And that's, you know, I mean, your life's, I understand. But at some point in your life, you need to get a broken heart for some things. And I don't mean you live miserably and downcast. No, life's good serving the Lord. I mean, be rejoiced and praise God. I'm saying something ought to move you. Once you get close to God, you start getting the heart of God and things start moving you. You start caring about things more. You start, and by the way, it used to be that the only things you wept about, and I want to say, nothing wrong with weeping for what you care about. Hannah wanted a boy. No problem. Weep about things you want, but even as you grow more mature and stay and go there and pray and get a broken heart because you want to get married so bad. God, give me a spouse. Give me this. And you want a child. God, give me, and weep, and that's fine. But eventually when you become very spiritual, you start getting a broken heart for what God has a broken heart for. Souls and eternity and your sin and other things, and you begin to weep about those things. It just shows how serious you are. Last thoughts in conclusion. You will have joy at the end of your crying. If you'll pray and weep, it is not condemning you to a miserable life, but a blessed life. Psalm 126. You will have joy at the end of crying. I want to say this. When you cry, the old thing, I need to have a good cry. That works. And you know, actually, literally, they've done studies on this. Did you know that, and I don't have the statistics with me, but crying, those tears take toxins out of your body multiple times faster than any other thing you can do. More than sweating, more than anything else. It is the fastest way to, there's physiological reasons why crying actually makes you feel better. Crying and crying out to God, you cast all your care upon Him. And it does something. I mean, it'll make you feel better. But not just that, I'm not just saying it'll make you feel better when you cry in prayer, but you will. You watch. Finally get some tears going in your prayers. You'll feel better. But God says you're going to be blessed for it. This is Psalm 126, verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I love the story of John R. Rice. John R. Rice always cried when he preached. And he was not. I remember wanting to hear John R. Rice preach because everybody talked about how powerful his preaching was. And I listened to him preach and it was like a dud. Not because of what he said. What he said was profound. But because John R. Rice was not a good orator. His voice was very level. He was not dynamic. But his whole message, it seemed like he was crying throughout his message. And John R. Rice was a very powerful preacher with great impact. And God used him in a great way. But when he's a young preacher, he would get up and preach. And he just weep throughout his whole message. He said, I'd blubber through my whole message. And finally he said, God, I'm so embarrassed about when I preach, I make a fool of myself. Please take away these tears. And God did. And the tears went away. And the impact went away, and the power of God went away. And he said, my tears went away, and I was a dry preacher in more ways than one. And he went back to God and said, God, I don't care if I blubber every sermon. Give me back the tears, because, Lord, I'm not having any impact for Christ, and I'm not enjoying the ministry at all because I have no power. And God gave him back the tears, and he got back the blessing. And he was joyful in his tears because he reaped with joy, because they that sow in tears shall reap with joy. And lastly, tears will end as a blessing and continue for eternity. Psalm chapter 30. Tears will end in blessing and continue for eternity. Psalm chapter 30 and verse 5. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Isn't that a good verse? Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And I can read you out of Revelation chapter 7. It says in Revelation 22, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. They went into heaven with some weeping. They got up there and got some joy from God. I want to say, let God take you to weeping in prayer, and you will take yourself into a new aspect and a better aspect of prayer. I'm just having a hard time crying in my prayer. I'm trying to stir up my emotions. Don't try to stir it up except for by remembering, the Bible says. But just go into God, spend time with God. You'll find eventually you'll get in heartbeat with God. And pretty soon you'll start caring. And pretty soon weeping will go along with your prayer. And you're going to have more power in prayer. And you're going to feel better. And joy is going to come in the morning. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for these passages, Lord. I didn't say much in this lesson except for kind of what you said, Lord. And I pray that you would hear our prayer and see our tears. And I pray that we would have a prayer life and weep and care. And Lord, know the joy and sow in tears and reap in joy. May we add that aspect to our prayers. Help us to care. And Lord, those of us who it's a little harder to cry, just kind of not in the way we're wired, Lord, help it to start to change, at least in our prayer closets, Lord. Please, Lord, I think the message is clear, and I pray that you just spoke, and I pray that we would just improve our prayer lives through tears. We pray this in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. There's not a lot to ask in an invitation.